It's my understanding that the solution to the problem surrounding 180 would be in the A engrossed bill to simply restore the original, well, the language as the law stands today in page 3, lines 4 through 9. Did I state the understanding correctly?
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mike Dewey, there were some individuals that expressed concern with the livestock industry and the capability of the livestock producer to care for their animals in a in what would be considered a humane manner. And under the proposed amendments, there might be a restriction on that. And the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association agrees that there is the potential for that restriction and would prefer that the language on page 3 of 686040, 4 through 9, the language in the statute today be reinstated. So in effect, not changing what the present law is. That would satisfy the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association and the livestock industry.
Question is, will it satisfy Senator Thorne?
Of course, I can't ask you to speak for Senator Thorne.
Mr. Chair, I did speak to Senator Thorne about this particular amendment, and I'm not sure how to answer the question. Understood we were going back to the present law that has been in the statute for 12 years. There has not been any complaints, and he understands that. I'm not sure exactly what he may do. It's my understanding that he is not going to do anything, but that could change, and so I can't speak for him.
No, I understand.
And I don't
that.
Pretend to.
The point is, you did. I mean, I guess the point is, in my mind, this is going back to existing law. And if the livestock growers have a problem with existing law, I would suggest they come forward with some proposed changes. But if we go back to existing law, it's the way it has been.
They do not. I have spoken to the president of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. We have gone through this, and he understands it, and he would prefer not to amend the law, and the present language is sufficient.
Okay. I would move that in the A engrossed version of Senate Bill 180, on page 3, lines 4 through 9, we delete the bold-faced material and restore the bracketed material.
I'm sorry, page 4 through 9.
Page 3, all lines right. 4 through 9, delete the boldface material and restore the bracketed material, which is the same as going back to current law. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. I think the bill is...
Turn it.
All right. Now, it's my recollection that we added in our other work session. Oh, does this need to be added to the A-Engrossed bill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We have more amendments.
Thank you.
I thought we did.
Yeah. All right. There are additional amendments. Do we need all of these?
Yeah, we have proposed amendments.
A-Engrossed bill.
Okay. All right, I apologize. Actually, what we need to do is we all have Legislative Council amendments SB 180A-5.
Right.
Okay. A-5. They are amendments to the A-Engrossed bill.
Here it is.
What we need to do is those amendments are fine, except on page 2, lines 7, 8, and 9, after institutions, there should be a period in line 7 of page 2. After institutions, there should be a period, and then the rest of that sentence and the next until the end of the sentence, it should be deleted. So, providing they are subject to and in compliance with the provisions of the Federal Animal Welfare Act should not be in the amendment. these amendments then do what we just moved to do in terms of, you know, deleting boldface material and restoring bracketed material. They also add other exemptions for, you know, the educational institutions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Karen.
Do all those folks out there understand that these are the amendments and we've all worked through it. Everybody says aye. Everybody agrees that this is what we're going to do, right?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
I'm getting lots of heads shaking.
All right. Well, then I would move these SB 180A-5 to the 31287.
Okay. With the
change
provision that
provision as you
line 789 are not included on page 2 as we explained it.
That is correct.
Okay, is there any Senator Cairns moves that we adopt Legislative Council Amendments SB 180A-5 with the aforementioned changes? Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Cairns moves Senate Bill 180.
No, Mr. Chair, I was saying, don't look at me.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid if I move this, I may have to carry it. No desire whatsoever to do that.
How about Senator Brenneman? Does he want to move the bill out?
Well, I am a glutton for punishment. I'll move the bill.
Did you carry it last time?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, I think you ought to be able to get back out there and prove to him that you can get it through. So Senator Brenneman moves Senate Bill 180A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Kintai.
Aye.
Senator Brenneman.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Cairns.
Aye.
Senator Bradbury.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senator. Oh, Senator Emmett votes aye. Motion is adopted. Senator Brenneman will carry the bill.
Maybe you should ask a veterinarian, representatives here if they want me to carry the bill. I'll try it again.
Okay. Let's open the work session on Senate Bill 729, which is the salmon labeling bill. There I go. Okay, we have in our folders amendments to Senate Bill 729 labeled Legislative Council 729-1. We also have a hand-engrossed version of the bill.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. One, the noise level is rising a little bit in the hearing room. Two, what bill are we on?
729.
Thank you.
I know I'm moving quickly.
Didn't hear that.
Sorry. This is the salmon labeling bill.
Hooray!
A number of amendments, or we have one set of amendments to try to do what we had talked about doing at our last hearing. And they are contained in Legislative Council 729-1. And then we have a hand-engrossed version of the bill. Okay, let me talk about the amendments here for a minute. There was a concern expressed that the way the bill was written, if you were selling seafood in a case, you know, it was lying out in a case, unpackaged, that it wouldn't be subject to the labeling requirement. So we've changed the wording to say, no person shall sell or offer for sale at retail any raw salmon product for human consumption that is not labeled in accordance with these rules. Then we give the department clear authority to develop rules regarding labeling. And it's clear from the rules that it's both labeling and displays. Then we ask that they identify three things in the label: the salmon species, the state or country of origin, and whether the salmon product is fresh or has ever been frozen. It does not. In other words, the provision that was in the original bill about whether it was gill net, troll, aquaculture, that's no longer in there.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman? Senator Brandon,
what's the penalty again for Class B misdemeanors?
I don't like that part.
Well, we had requested an amendment that made it a Class C, but that didn't apparently make it in here.
Oh, okay.
No, I think we ought to reduce it.
Yeah, I mean, well, the proposal was to make it Class C, which I...
Well, I thought so, but I saw it here again in this...
Yeah, it is back to B, and I agree, yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, Senator Cairns.
I'd go even farther. What's the penalties for a Class C misdemeanor? What's the maximum penalty?
Kathy Keene.
What are the, yeah, what's it? Can you do any time in the county jail?
Yeah, you think you can.
Maybe.
Mr. Chairman, Kathy Keene with the Oregon Retail Council. The penalties for a Class C misdemeanor are 30 days in jail and a $500 criminal penalty.
And or?
And or.
500 C and what the B?
Oh, it's, go ahead.
I'm not sure that's spelled out.
1,000?
I believe that's correct, Senator Hamby. 6 months, I believe, and yeah, 1,000 is the distinction with the Class B misdemeanor. Mr. Chairman, you had inquired that I provide the committee with some additional information, and I was able to do that. I'm sorry I was not able to get it together in writing for your consideration, but if it's appropriate at this time, I would share that information with the committee. The question was, how do retailers get the products, I believe. I understand from talking to several of the retailers who are involved in seafood merchandising that there are four or five major providers of the product. They generally provide the product in full cases, which are 50-pound cases of whole fish, which are headless and dressed. They are willing to break whole cases down for smaller merchants who can't dispose of that quantity at one particular time. Some retailers order full cases when they have particular promotions going on. I inquired about, do you know the species? Yes, it's possible to determine the species. Do you know if the product was previously frozen? Yes, it's possible to know that. Do you know the state or country of origin of the fish? No, and it's not possible for us to know that. So that was the result of the survey that I took.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns.
Does the Department of Agriculture, I would assume that among the generic powers, has the power to levy a civil penalty on their own motion under, in a contested case?
Who's saying no?
Who's saying no?
Mr. Costa said.
Is that correct? No.
No.
Damn.
That's why they're all coming in this special meeting.
Are there fines? Do we have fines?
They can close your store, Mr. Chairman.
That's their basic authority.
Is that what you do? Close, is that what happens? Close stores?
Theoretically. Theoretically, that's the authority.
Weights, measures, mislabeling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing you can do is close your store. Can't assess any fine, fee, penalty, nothing. What's the penalty for a Class A infraction? We got an infraction class. What do we got 20, there?
No, 2,500.
I believe below the misdemeanor, Mr. Chairman, there are violations.
Violations.
That's the next
okay.
level. Of
violation.
Criminal
violation. Okay. How about? I'd like to see what violation. Under no circumstances am I voting for this or any other bill that adds a jail time. That's just we want to stop doing that as a matter of course. And I'd like to know where we are on violations.
Kathy, before you leave, I want to ask you something.
I need to know how much they have.
Now, in your testimony, you indicated that it was difficult for the retailer to know where the salmon...
Mr. Chairman, I inquired again when I was getting the information that you had requested. And the problem becomes, you know, you're outside the three-mile limit. Your boat goes out from Astoria. Are you catching a Washington salmon or are you catching an Oregon salmon? And I think you're getting into something that would be very burdensome to attempt to define and really wouldn't benefit the consumer. And if what you're trying to do is benefit the consumer, you have to weigh and balance the regulatory burden on the retailer with, you know, what's the consumer really need to know?
Well, I think, but that no one can, I mean,
I don't think anyone's asking the retailer to guess where, I mean, to say, well, gee, is this a Washington fish or an Oregon fish? I think the department, through its rulemaking, would have to define an Oregon fish as one landed in Oregon, and a California fish as one landed in California, and a Norwegian fish as a fish raised in Norway. And, you know, frankly, I don't think it makes much difference. I agree, it doesn't make much difference whether it's a California, Oregon, or Washington troll-caught salmon. But we're not going to tell them how it's caught. And I think it does make a difference for people to know whether this is a salmon from Norway, which they're pen-reared in Norway, or whether it's a salmon from the West Coast. But we've learned from the beef labeling issue that we can't just require them to tell us whether it's from this country or out of this country. So if we're going to do it, we have to provide, we have to require some kind of labeling that does both international as well as within this country. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Karen,
Ms. Keene, have you seen the engrossed version that include the amendments?
I have not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, well, it says such rules, giving the department the power to decide what the display includes, on line 12 on page 1. It says such rules may include, but are not limited to. Does that help at all on the question of state or country of origin?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cairns, that would certainly shift the focus of our advocacy efforts to the department and from this committee.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Hamby,
might the committee agree, perhaps in a consensus sort of position, to defeat state? Certainly, I can see
that. You can't do that constitutionally,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns,
I don't know about consensus, but I'll throw something out on the table. I'd like to try this. Take out the word may on line 12 and replace it with shall. And then on line 14, strike line 14. How about that? So we shall include, at a minimum, the species, whether it's been fresh or frozen. Okay. So you've at least got that much.
Yeah.
That's certainly possible.
As a practical matter.
Maybe I'll just leave the may in, and if it's not practical, then leave it out. We'll figure out a way to.
Well, my problem with may is that I might come back with some rules that tells me that whether it's been fresh or frozen, it doesn't tell me what species it is or where it came from, ever. I'd much rather larger specificity. And the only way to, I mean, I'd like some certainty in it so that we know for certain we've got at least a minimum threshold, and then they've got the power to go beyond that if it's practicable.
Okay, so by doing it, shall include but are not limited to.
Exactly.
Well, the other way to do it, Mr. Chairman, is put and may, if practical, include country and word. That makes sure that they consider it, mm-hmm. as opposed to deleting it from the deal. And my concern is they look at the record and they say, oh, the legislature deleted that line and they didn't intend to us even address it.
Okay.
So
that's even better.
If you want to talk about, I mean, yeah. I think that's the effect.
So what you'd be saying is, would say such rules shall include salmon species, fresh or frozen, and may include if
country of origin, if practical.
State or country
of origin.
State and country,
yeah.
If
state
and
country of origin.
What is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And may include if. I don't think it.
Mm-hmm. That'll do it.
At least you will give them the instructions that they have to try for that, and if it, and the burden is on them to make the case to say it's not worth using. Not workable.
Okay.
It also changes the focus of the ethics.
Yeah.
Let me place that as a conceptual amendment, which I think is pretty easy to place.
Yeah, I don't think
The conceptual amendment would be that it reads such rules shall include the salmon species, whether the salmon product is fresh or has ever been frozen. The rules may include.
Right, state or country one.
Should we put may include but are not limited to?
Yeah.
wide, so it's a little wider. The rules may include but are not limited to the state or country of origin. Okay, there is an other amendment that Mr. Woodard has come forward with that has to do with the whole question of the way it reads right now. He's suggesting that what the wording on the state or country of origin should read, state of origin of salmon caught in the USA or country of origin of imported salmon. I think if we leave it at rule, if we leave it to rulemaking, it'll pretty clearly, they'll define that pretty clearly, I think.
So, Senator Brennan, maybe some of that problem that was brought up, you could look at that first page there of Mr. Woodard's, and where it says salmon caught, it would be probably more accurate to have landed.
Yes. Okay, but we should probably, I think it might be good to try to put something like that in here.
If you're going to be.
But I don't know if we're going to. It seemed like if we're letting the department adopt rules, we don't need to be as worried about the state or country of origin wording.
Well, if you're dealing with a state.
Huh?
If you're going to be dealing with a state of origin, it would.
Yeah.
It would be more clear if you had it landed in the state rather than caught in the state.
Okay, well, we could change that to something that would read state or county where salmon
was landed.
Well, I said, is all salmon landed?
Got to bring them ashore sooner or later. Don't you?
Yeah. Okay, that's what landed. I mean, that.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think that's probably good. So origin, instead of origin, we'd say state or country where salmon is, where salmon was landed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got a motion. That would, it's a conceptual amendment, but I don't think we're going to have to review it, frankly. It's pretty straightforward. That would, the rule shall include salmon species in fresh or frozen. Frozen may include, but are not limited to, the state or county where, state or country where salmon was landed.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's, that's a conceptual amendment. Discussion on that amendment.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, where would the,
Senator Kim,
pen raised or farm salmon fit in on in that category?
I think they're when they're
maybe
land
Oregon. If they're raised in Oregon.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're Oregon. Yeah, they'd be Oregon, yeah. If they're landed in Oregon.
Okay.
I mean,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was sort of wondering whether all salmon were landed, just because you know.
No, they're taken out of the water.
Well, but I think that's basically what it is. They're taken out of the water. They've slaughtered or whatever, you know, processed.
So they would not be distinguished?
No, not at all.
It's all right. I mean, I have a problem with it.
Okay. So we have that amendment before us. Is there any objection to the adoption of that amendment? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Now, we have this other question. Senator Kearns.
What is... I don't have the... Well, we've got a set of books here. Can somebody tell me what the maximum penalties are for classes of violations? I would like to make a motion to substitute
violation.
Class C misdemeanor for a violation, and if we know what the...
Can we just say it?
No rank of... You have to list the number. I mean,
oh, can we put our own dollar number on it?
No, a violation is not...
I think we can put our own number on it. I think, can't we?
Punishable
by a fine not to exceed.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about a fine not to exceed.
That's what you're talking about.
By a fine not to exceed $100. I'll bid $100.
I'll bid two.
Two.
Two?
Two. They only give them half of what they...
It was just cut in half.
Cut in half. For each violation.
No.
Well, now, what is that?
I'm just kidding.
H. Bishop H.
No.
Okay. For a violation not to...
not
count,
to exceed,
violation of
not
the,
exceed $200?
Subject to a fine not to exceed $200. $200. Senator Kearns moved that we amend it to not to exceed $200.
That's fine.
Major Hyder.
I assume much
of the council can. Oh, I think they can.
Mr. Chairman, relative to your question, a violation
be the next classification of an offense below a Class C misdemeanor. Maximum fine of $250. No jail sentence. Infractions are classified in several layers.
But a violation, there we are. So a violation is a $250 fine maximum.
Yes, a Class A infraction would have a maximum fine of $500 with no imprisonment. A Class B infraction would be $250 with no imprisonment.
But okay, that's what I'm sorry, that's what I mean. Okay. Between an infraction and a violation.
So maybe we should just call it a Class B infraction.
That's normal classification of a minor offense with a civil penalty as opposed to imprisonment criminal.
Class B infraction is how much?
$250 fine maximum.
Terrific.
Class hey, Senator Karen's moves that we amend the bill on line 18 of page 2. Anyway, where it's talking about violation of section 2. Change it from a Class B misdemeanor to a Class B infraction. Is there any objection to that change? Hearing none, so ordered.
I have another question, Mr.
Sure.
Chair, and I apologize for not being in the first hearing on it, but was there any testimony regarding the definition of frozen?
Yes.
There was, okay.
And yes, everyone, quite a lot. Between the one that is in...
Deep frozen, or...
No, frozen is the one as opposed to one that's in cold water storage.
Oh, versus frequently a fresh Oregon chicken in the market, and as you reach into the display counter, you feel it not frozen thoroughly, frozen. However,
that's probably the regulator on the freezer in the store, not the commission material.
But if the committee is satisfied with the definition of frozen.
I choose this one, Mr. Chairman. Oh, I do. I had another question.
Oh, he's not quite ready.
I had another question.
Senator Cairns.
Matt.
Okay. Senator Cairns moves Senate Bill 729.
Straight idea.
As amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Senator Cohen?
Aye.
Senator Hamby? Senator Cairns?
Aye.
Senator Kintai?
No.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye. Motion is adopted. I'll carry the bill. Okay, 123. There are a number of proposed amendments we have on this bill. One of them is what I call the lead agency amendment for spill response. It's contained in Legislative Council Amendments 123-3. This was an amendment that I think resulted from some conversations that I had with the department. I was concerned that there needed to be a lead agency for this whole spill response issue.
About three?
And so, well, there are three amendments that we need to consider. One is -3, which has to do with lead agencies. -4, which has to do with having railroads pay part of the fee. And -5, having to do with used oil.
Okay.
So, -3.
Mr. Chair, Rich Ryder, manager of the Hazardous Materials Program, we have not seen -3. We were provided with copies of 123-2 and an amendment to -2, but we have not seen
it. Oh, okay. You want to compare your amendment to -2 with...
It this morning.
this dash three, this. Okay, dash three is the amendment. It is the amended version of dash two.
So we can deal with three then. You have seen both the amendment and the... Have they seen both?
I have.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Those comprise three.
Well, dash three is made up of 123-2 plus amendments to 123-2 that we got.
So three represents accumulation.
That's exactly correct. And basically, 123-3 is designed to designate the Department of Environmental Quality as, I don't know what the right word is, lead agency, but that's the word I've chosen in terms of the whole spill response system.
Mr. Chairman, that's Stan Bowes, Department of Environmental Quality. This is the language that we worked on with the committee staff. And I think it tries to walk the narrow line between placing a state agency in charge and somewhat accountable to the legislature, at the same time.